It's 7:41 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. This morning and all week, we're reaching into the archives to retell some of our favorite stories from 2017, like this story about compassion.
Anybody can sit at the couch and yell at the TV and be a cynic. It's very, very hard to actually look at some of the tougher issues in your community and decide to do something about them.
That story's just ahead. First, this news.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from C3 IoT, enabling corporate and industrial digital transformation with artificial intelligence, cloud computing, and IoT big data software solutions. Learn more at c3iot.com. From the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, supporting creative people and effective institutions committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information is at macfound.org. And from the listeners who support this NPR station.
This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. One of our favorite stories from 2017 comes from Glennis Board, who investigated how communities across the region and the country are investing in compassion to improve the economy. Sounds a little far-fetched, but a growing body of science points to compassion as an economic driver. Glennis explains why many businesses and cities are buying into the idea.
Dr. James Doty, a brain surgeon in California, is one of the world's leading experts on the science behind compassion.
Compassion can mean many things to different people, but in the context of science, it's defined as the recognition of the suffering of another with a motivational desire to alleviate that suffering.
Doty theorizes that evolutionary success of the human species is tied to our capacity for compassion. He and others have proved there are health benefits to being nice, both for the person being nice and whomever is experiencing kindness.
What we have found is that when your threat is decreased, when you are in this optimal state of being relaxed and not in fear, feeling as if others love you or care for you, then your physiology works at its best.
Some of the side effects of well-tuned physiology, you're healthier. You can focus more easily. Your immune system works better. That means fewer sick days and happier, more productive members of society. Someone who really has bought into this idea is businessman, inventor, and data geek turned mayor of Louisville, Greg Fisher. Fisher says he's taken a business model of compassion and turned it into a governing strategy.
If people don't feel like they're interconnected and interdependent, and if people are not being invested in their human potential, you're not going to optimize your company, and you're certainly not going to optimize your city. So to me, a city is a platform for human potential to flourish, and that's my definition of compassion.
Fisher declared Louisville a compassionate city in 2011, signing on to an international charter that calls for commitments to compassionate decision-making. Since then, government-sponsored volunteerism has expanded significantly. Compassion training is being implemented in the public school system and even in the city's jail, but notably not in the police department. Since 2011, violent crime in Louisville has actually increased. It's also still one of the more segregated cities in the country. There are certainly other measures of compassion where the city is lagging. So the big question is, exactly how do you measure compassion or its effects? Well, researchers in Louisville are working on it.
While we're working towards becoming a compassionate city, I don't know if a lot of people in the street would say that we're actually compassionate.
Dr. Joe D'Ambrosio from the University of Louisville's Medical School has been compiling objective measures of what he's defined as compassionate community.
We're looking at data that's measuring health and governance, ecological resilience, educational attainment, and compassionate business standards in living.
So, does everyone have access to fresh fruits and vegetables, affordable, safe housing, transportation? Is the city government taking care of people? And what are people doing to create compassionate environments? D'Ambrosio and his team of researchers hope the index will highlight areas where more compassion is needed, and they hope the index will be useful to other cities, too, because the Compassion City idea is growing. Five cities dozens of communities and more than 100 businesses in the Ohio Valley have signed on or begun compassionate initiatives, including Linden in Kentucky and Cincinnati, Dayton, and Toledo in Ohio. Louisville has hosted 40 other cities and mayors from all over the country who are interested in their model, including the mayor of Wheeling, West Virginia, Glenn Elliott.
Anybody can sit at the couch and yell at the TV and be a cynic. It's very, very hard to actually look at some of the tougher issues in your community and decide to do something about them.
Elliott hopes embracing compassionate policies in government, at schools, and in business will help get to the root of major problems the region faces, like the opioid epidemic. And while there's a growing body of science to support the theory that compassion can improve these realms, measurable impacts on large populations are yet to be clearly demonstrated and will likely require years to develop and a lot of social and political courage to pursue. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Glynis Board in Wheeling, West Virginia.
Support for the Ohio Valley Resource comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and West Virginia Public Broadcasting. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:49. Variable cloudiness today, highs in the 20s and low 30s. Chance of snow showers tonight with lows in the teens. Scattered snow tomorrow with highs only in the teens. Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by the CAMC Foundation, supporting technological advances at CAMC through the purchase of medical equipment, like 3D mammography at the Breast Center and the new CT scanner at the CAMC General Hospital. Learn more at CAMCFoundation.org. And by Burns Realty, specializing in commercial real estate sales and leasing across West Virginia for over 25 years. More information at 304-416-2220. We hear a lot about coal and natural gas in West Virginia, even solar and wind. But what about geothermal energy? Science indicates West Virginia is the largest geothermal hotspot on the East Coast. As Liz McCormick reported earlier this year, some counties in West Virginia have been pushing the envelope for a future in geothermal energy use, like a handful of public schools.
Here at Tuscarora Elementary School in Berkeley County, kindergarten teacher Lori Carr is reveling in her revamped classroom. Her school recently underwent a massive renovation to become a greener, more energy efficient school.
When I first started here, we were a completely open concept school. We made our classrooms with bookshelves, shelves, whatever we could. We were always worried about, you know, the class next door. Were we bothering them? Were we too loud? Could we hear them?
An open concept or open-spaced school is just what it sounds like. A school building that features big, open, adjustable spaces instead of divided, walled-off rooms. It was a popular design in the 1970s. But it takes a lot of energy to heat, cool, and light that large open space. So over the past year, Tuscarora and several schools like it in Berkeley County were transformed in hopes of saving energy. The schools got new walls, doors, LED lighting, and retrofitted geothermal heat pumps.
So in a nutshell, here's how the geothermal system works.
That's Tuscarora Elementary School principal Tyler Long. He takes me outside the building and points to the school's front lawn, now covered in straw to help the grass grow back after 42 wells were built there this summer, each 400 feet deep.
So, essentially what happens is there is a pipe that runs from that well field behind where those cars are parked there, the length of that, and then comes up underneath this parking lot here and comes right into that room.
Long takes me into a small stone building that holds the school's lawnmowers and other equipment, and now also houses Tuscarora's geothermal heat pump system, which isn't that big. The system looks like it could fit into a large closet or shed. Hear that buzzing? That's the most sound you'll hear from one of these systems, because it makes no noise inside the school, no whooshing as it kicks the air on. The air coming into the school is regulated by a closed loop system of pipes that is in turn regulated by Earth's constant 55 degree temperature. Long also points out that the air quality in the building has improved.
It's a tremendous savings financially, but it's also very energy efficient. So it's a savings to the environment as well. And from a selfish standpoint, I mean, the school has been taken from an open concept school that's slowly evolved over the years to essentially a 41-year-old brand new school. So for myself, my students, and my teachers, you can't ask for anything better.
Tuscarora is one of seven elementary schools in Berkeley County sporting geothermal heating and cooling systems, six of which were installed within the past year. Berkeley County Schools Superintendent Manny Arvon is the driving force behind the geothermal initiative in the county. A year ago, Arvon hired the sustainable building company, CMTA Engineer Consulting, to lead the projects. CMTA not only installed six of those seven geothermal systems, but it also replaced every single light bulb with LEDs in each of Berkeley's 32 school buildings, a total of 25,000 bulbs. And each building got some sort of energy system update, like new boilers or chillers. Arvon says switching to greener technologies like geothermal was a no-brainer because of, one, environmental impact, and two, cost savings in a county with a population that doesn't seem to stop growing.
We had to look at money that we were already spending and how could we recapture that money and re-spend it in a way that would be progressive. It would take care of problems that are facing us, and it would generate dollars, but not new dollars.
Berkeley County Schools expect the geothermal system will cut electricity bills countywide by almost 40% annually, from about $5.5 million to $3.5. Arvon says the systems will pay for themselves in 15 years and should last more than half a century.
We will be building a lot of schools in the future, and we will take what we have learned and incorporate that in every plan that we make.
Arvon says he plans to install geothermal heating and cooling systems into every new school building built in Berkeley County. According to the West Virginia Department of Education, Webster and Pocahontas counties also have geothermal technology installed in some of their schools. Additionally, Monongalia County's Eastwood Elementary School has geothermal technology. Webster County High School was the first West Virginia school to have geothermal installed back in 1997. But more than just West Virginia schools, is geothermal energy something the entire state could eventually tap into? Geological researchers at Southern Methodist University in Dallas, Texas, seem to think so. According to the research published in the online magazine Science, the Mountain State has areas of Earth as warm as 200 degrees Celsius and as shallow as 5 kilometers. That's a little more than 16,000 feet. And researchers say some of those spots may actually be warmer than first reported a decade ago. The geothermal heat pumps in places like Berkeley County Schools use a different type of technology that doesn't dive as deep, but West Virginia is beginning to study the potential of tapping into deeper geothermal energy. The official state geologist, Michael Hahn, of the West Virginia Geological Survey, says while the potential for deeper geothermal drilling and research is there, demand is just too low right now.
Currently, the deep geothermal resource is still more expensive than coal and natural gas. And so right now the market is driving us to use, especially with the discovery of so many natural gas resources.
That said, Hahn points out that West Virginia University is currently investigating the possibility of utilizing this deeper geothermal energy to power its entire campus. But for now, it looks like geothermal projects in West Virginia will look more like the ones in Berkeley County. Hahn thinks the use of geothermal, both the shallow and deep forms, will one day be in much higher demand and play a larger role in West Virginia's energy mix. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Liz McCormick in Martinsburg.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glenna Sport. I'm Teresa Wills.